Thank you for listening to Southside Baptist Church's podcast. If you would like to know more about us, please visit us online at southsidesbc.org. Again, that's southsidesbc.org. Additionally, if this podcast has been an encouragement to you, or if you would like to know more about Jesus and why we serve him, please email us at info@southsidesbc.org. Thank you for listening.
The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, and faithful in all he does. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures through all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to him, and he gives them their food at the proper time. He opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Church, let's stand. Let's let our praises ring out to the Lord, who has promised he would always be with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, never abandon us.
He won't abandon, he won't deceive, he won't desert us, he won't ever leave. He'll never forsake us, he won't ever run, he'll never reject us, the faithful one. His love will strength, never failing.
Well, hey, good morning, church. Go ahead, take a seat. How you guys doing? Doing good. We're just going to get something out the way right out the front. Yes, I got a haircut. We're just going to say it. You know, it's kind of... Wow. Now I know where you people... I'm going to make it longer next time. Here we go. No, I kind of have a moment. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. It's really fun walking through the church and people looking at you like... Are you a visitor here? It's like, no, I'm not I kind of work here. So it's kind of a whole lot of fun when that whole thing, I'm a whole new person. Even Elliot wasn't even sure who I was when I got the first haircut. He looked at me, grabbed my face, and I started talking. He goes, okay, yeah, you're daddy. You're okay. You're cool. You're cool. But hey, either way, if this is your first time coming here to church, my name is Mark. I am one of the pastors here on staff, and we are thrilled you decided to worship with us today. And honestly, if this is even your second time, we're even more thrilled that you decided to actually come back and that we didn't scare you away the first time. So we're very thankful for that as well. But if this is your first time, or honestly, I don't normally ask for this, or if this is also your second time, could you let us know that you're here worshiping with us today? Inside your bulletin, that little sheet of paper, that little booklet thing that you got on your way into the church here through the doors, you should have received a Connect card inside that bulletin. If you can do me a quick favor, go ahead and pull that out for me really quickly, all right? Go ahead and pull that out. I know there's a lot of blanks and bubbles and buttons and lines and stuff like that. And I know it's intimidating. I know it's like, oh my goodness, Mark, do I have to fill out the whole thing? The answer is no, but if you do, I'll love you so much more for it. But here's what I need for you to do, all right? Just two things, all right? Just two things. One, your name. And second, just the easiest way to contact you. That's it. Because here's the reason why, all right? Yes, we want to know you're worshiping with us today. We want to say thank you, but we want to connect with you during the week as well. We want to answer any questions. We want to just any clarification that we can have just to connect with you and just actually say welcome, thank you, we love you, we're so glad you worship with us today. And here's the other thing as well, okay? So this Connect card, I've had people ask, this is not just for first-time guests or second-time returning guests or anything like that. This is for the whole church, and this is why, okay? When you have a church of like 40, 50 people, Pastor Scott will tell you this, it's a lot easier to know what's going on in everybody's business. Everybody knows what's going on in everybody's business because you're small, 40, 50 people. When you get to the number more like 300, it's hard to know what's going on. We want to pray for you. We want to know what's going on. We want to know if we can help you in any way, shape, or form. And we do pray for every single request that you write down by name every single week. So if there's any way we can even just pray for you, if there's any information you need to update in the system, this is honestly the best way to do it. Sound good? Get it? Got it good? Good. So at the very end of the service, you're going to hang on to this at the very end of the service. After you fill it out, they'll get baskets placed through the rows. You place in the basket. That's all you got to do. And if you want to meet Pastor Scott, he'll be right outside those doors to give you a free gift for just coming and worshiping with us here today. Well, hey, as we go into worshiping God, here's the crazy thing. We were talking about this with the teenagers this morning. Worship is so much more than music. Worship is so much more than just the songs that we play. Worship is when all who you are aligns with all who God is. It's when our heart aligns with God's heart. That's where true worship is. Worship is a lifestyle. But here's the other thing, too. Worship singing songs about God, to each other, it can put us in that place. You know, we talked about this last week, but sometimes these words, sometimes we have to sing these to align ourselves up with God. We're going through a tough time. We can sing this promise. We can remind ourselves of this truth. God, you are a mighty fortress. You're an anchor. You're going to hold fast in the time of storm. And I love you for that. And I know you will never, ever, ever let me go. So as we do worship in song here just a little bit, let's just remember why we're singing, who we're singing to, and praise God together as a family for what God has done for us. Let's pray as we go into that time. God, as we continue worshiping you today, God, we know we can only worship you because of what you first did for us. God, you say we can only love because you first loved us. We can only experience and show love because of you loved us. And you loved us in this way, that while we were still sinners, you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for us, to be separated from you, to pay the penalty of sin that we deserve, that we need to pay. But God, you put that on Jesus. And because of that, we can be part of your family. God, we can call you Abba, Father, Dad, Friend, God, Lord, and Savior. Thank you for what you're doing here in our midst. Thank you for what you're doing and here in this community. And pray that as we continue worshiping you, that you will accept it and that we'll be able to align our hearts with yours, God. Thank you so much. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, will you stand with us as we continue worshiping in hymn and song today?
I'm casting my cares aside, leaving my past behind. Sitting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more. Knowing that all you have in store for me is good, is good. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. I'm putting my fears aside, leaving my doubts behind, giving my hopes and dreams to you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say.
I live for you.
All my days I live for you.
Yes, I will stand upon your truth.
I will stand.
you, Lord. Praises to Him. We give thanks to Him with our whole heart. Let us recount for a moment all the wonderful deeds He has done just this week for us. It's a choice to be glad, to exult in You, Lord. We make that choice this morning. We will sing praise to Your name, O Most High.
Praise the name of the Lord.
invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Adopting us into your family through your blood on the cross. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. And I thank you that we don't have to measure up. We don't have to be at any particular place. You saw us where we were, and you loved us just the same, and you died for us. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you. We want want to continue this morning with that attitude of thanksgiving, of gratefulness in our hearts, even through the tough times, Lord. Even through the tough times, we will still praise you. We make that choice. And we seek you. We seek your will. We seek your blessing. Whatever comes, we want to be praising you at the end of the day. All your people here said, amen. Saints, go ahead and have a seat as we continue our worship this morning. I'd like to invite the ushers forward. And we will pray for this morning's offering. God, thank you for all that you have given us. Thank you for making us stewards of so many things. And in the case of where you've made us stewards of just a few, thank you for that too. We want to be faithful with what you've given us and respond to your faithfulness in like manner. So we pray you would bless our offering as we bring it to you before you this morning. Amen. Let's bless the Lord together.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship your holy name.
Ladies, why don't you sing out on this one?
Forever more, forever more. Bless the Lord.
we desire to be people who worship your name in spirit and in truth and with our whole lives, not just with our lips. So bring our hearts close to you, God. May we be a people whose hearts are near to you. And we pray that you would draw us through your word this morning. Draw us through what you would speak through Pastor Scott. Please bless his words. Bless us as we receive them. And we commit this time to your glory. And all your people here said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brendan. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We are this morning going to begin a new series on the book of Hebrews. So boys and girls, ages 4 years old through kindergarten, you may leave now and go to children's church. And if you're looking for an outline in your bulletin, you won't find one this morning. All right, so no outline this morning, so you can focus your attention up here. And so before we get into the message, a couple things I just want to bring to your attention. This is a busy time of year. School starting, right, boys and girls? How many are already started school? All right, good. How many are starting this week? Has everybody already started? There's some. Yeah, there's some that are going to be starting this week. So it's a busy time of week. We've also got a lot going on here at Southside. And so I won't go into details. We've got our back-to-school bash on Friday night, and I want to encourage you to be here for that. Pastor Mark will give you more details about that. But I wanted to just invite you, if you've not already signed up, to be here next Sunday afternoon. We will have morning worship service at our regular time, 10:30. And then at 3:30 in the afternoon, we're going to be having another service. And this is a service in which we will be ordaining Pastor Mark, or Mark as pastor, and recognizing God's call on his life, and getting an opportunity to share in that, and to lay hands on him in a good way. Not a bad way. And so he cut his hair, and so he's all prepared for this. And so, Mark, I have one question for you. Did you donate your hair to Golden Locks or whatever that's called? It wasn't quite long enough. Okay, all right. I'm probably going to hear that one in a bad way later. So, but anyway, Easter, okay, there we go. But next Sunday, 3:30 in the afternoon, service will last about an hour. Very special time. Listen, if you've never been a part of an ordination service, I really encourage you to be here for that, as this is a whole church thing, okay? It'll be a special time. We do have child care during the service, and so if you haven't already signed up for child care, you need child care, mark that on the back of your Connect card. We're also going to have a meal afterwards, all right? And so this is a full meal, and so we encourage you to sign up, be a part of that. Please put that down as well so we can make sure we have enough food. But that's at 3:30 in the afternoon. I know it's a little bit of a weird time. We have other pastors that are coming and that are going to be a part of the service, and that's really the reason why, so that they can participate and be a part of that, the ones who are on Mark's ordination council. And so I encourage you to be here for that. I would be amiss if I didn't mention one other thing, and because Mark will be giving announcements at the end, Roxanne is going to be moving on Saturday, right, Roxanne? And so this is her last Sunday with us, Roxanne McCreary. And so I encourage you to give her a hug before she leaves. We'll stay in contact. And she is just a sweet lady. And I wish, and Roxanne, I may talk about you even after you're gone, if that's okay. What a great testimony. Roxanne has had cancer twice. I knew it was at least twice. And has just had a great attitude through it both times. And God in remission now, right? And in remission. And so she's going to Oklahoma to be closer to family. And so pray for her in the move. It's not an easy move and so forth, but she'll be around her brother and family. And so that's a reason for the move. But Roxanne, we're going to miss you. We love you, and God bless you. All right. So you be sure to tell her. All right. So let's get into our text today, into the first message here of our series on Hebrews. You know, there are a lot of mysteries in the world that are hard to explain. There are a lot of things that don't make sense to a lot of people. Maybe you've heard people ask questions about these things, such as, you know, why is there so much evil in the world? You know, why do we see such things going on? Why is there suffering in the world? Why do kids suffer? Why do things happen? Good things happen, bad things happen to good people. There are other questions that people ask. How did the world begin? How did the universe get so big? Why can I not look up at the sun? Y'all know that, right? You've all heard that this week, you know. What's the meaning of life? How do our human bodies work? Or even, how does a woman think? These are mysteries of the world and of life. Guys, y'all were smart. Y'all didn't amen that one. These are the mysteries of our world and of our life, things that are hard to understand. You know, one of the mysteries that many Christians have a hard time understanding is the Old Testament. How many here would say that the Old Testament scares you a little bit? Okay, could we be honest? All right, listen, I'm gonna raise my hand. You know, the Old Testament parts of that really scare me. Okay, and should, but a lot of times, much of the Old Testament scares us because we feel like it's so unfamiliar. We are New Testament Christians, right? So we don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. Listen, our Bible is divided into two main sections, right? The Old Testament and the New Testament. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. Thank you, Laura. How many books in the New Testament? 27. Thank you, Mark. All right. Y'all need to know these things. All right. And so we have 66 books in our Bible, but it's divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, here's the deal. We may have we may be fairly familiar with the New Testament, but the Old Testament, not so much. You know, we have a vague idea. You know what? I know somewhere way back there in the very beginning of my Bible, it talks about the beginning. And then I know it talks about some guys like Abraham and Moses and Noah and then Joshua. And I know right there after Joshua somewhere, man, the Israelites are fighting a lot of people. And then I know kind of right there in the middle of the Old Testament, if I open my Bible really right to its middle, what do I come to? Psalms. The book of Psalms. Oh, I love to read the Psalms, but after that, man, it really gets fuzzy again. I know it's a lot of prophets talking and prophesying doom on Israel and prophesying about end times. And so a lot of times we're really fuzzy on the Old Testament. And because we don't really understand it, we tend to stay away from it. Well, friends, the key is to understanding the Old Testament is context. It's context. There's a key that helps to unlock our understanding of even the Old Testament of God's Word. Let me explain what I mean by way of illustration. I want to put a paragraph up here on the screen in just a moment, and we're going to read that paragraph. I'm going to read it to you, and I just want to ask you if this paragraph makes sense to you. All right, so let's look at this paragraph. A seashore is a better place than the street because you need lots of room. At first, it's better to run than to walk. You may have to try several times. It takes some skill, but it's easy to learn. Even young children can enjoy it. Birds seldom get too close. If there are no snags, it can be very peaceful. But if it breaks loose, you won't get another chance. Now, don't shout anything out here. I know some of you that like puzzles are trying to figure this out a little bit. But let me ask you, for the majority of you, does this paragraph make any sense? Doesn't make any sense at all, does it? It doesn't make sense because we don't understand the context. Now, I want to give you just a one-word contextualization for this paragraph, and then we're going to read it again, and I want to ask you if it then makes sense, all right? And so the one word that I'm going to give you is the word kite. Ah, see all the eyes? Poo, ah, I see. So let's read it again, understanding that one word key to unlocking the context of this paragraph. A seashore is a better place than the street because you need lots of room. Ah, makes sense now, doesn't it? At first, it's better to run than to walk. Well, of course, with a kite. You may have to try several times, especially me. It takes some skill, but it's easy to learn. Even young children can enjoy it. Birds seldom get too close. Hope not. If there are no snags, it can be very peaceful. But if it breaks loose, bye-bye kite, right? You won't get another chance. Now, did it make sense now? It made total sense, right? And so the key to understanding that paragraph is context. It is kind of like we would say hindsight is 20/20, right? Once we know the context, we know what we're talking about, we then can understand the text even better. So as we look at that, we ask, what is the context or framework or interpretive key that helps us to unlock the Old Testament? And I'm going to say, really, all of life. Well, that's what we're going to talk about in our text today. It's what we're going to be studying all throughout the book of Hebrews. What is it that gives us context to the Old Testament to help us understand God? Because the reality is, many times we just leave it alone, right? Most people say, well, we live in the New Testament. We just ignore the Old Testament and we shouldn't even. But the Old Testament, friends, sets up the new. The Old Testament sets up the stage for what God has to reveal to us in the new. And it is so, so important. And the book of Hebrews dives into this in a lot of different ways that we're going to be looking at over the coming weeks and months. So before we get into the text, let's understand a few things. We're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, and I want us to understand a few things about the book of Hebrews itself. First of all, the book of Hebrews gives no specific title within the text itself. The title found in most ancient manuscripts simply reads, "To the Hebrews." Thus, why we call the book Hebrews. But the text itself has no title in it. Second, the letter also does not begin with a typical salutation or greeting. So as in many of Paul's letters, Paul will start out to the churches in so-and-so, I, Paul, and he will continue on from that. However, in the book of Hebrews here, we don't find any salutation as is typical. And so we wonder, is this really a letter? But as we look and we read and we get really to the end, we see that some of the typical things that we find in a letter is some of the parting things at the very end. So it does bear resemblance to other New Testament letters. Third, since there is no specific greeting in the text, guess what? We don't know who wrote it. Now, many historians and commentators have speculated. Many attribute the book of Hebrews to the Apostle Paul. And guess what? Could it be Paul that wrote it? Could be. But the text doesn't say. Many say maybe a close associate of Paul, such as Barnabas or Silas. Others speculate Apollos, Luke, Philip, Priscilla, Aquila. Man, there are all sorts of speculation. And the reality and the truth of the matter is, we don't know. We don't know. And so we must accept the fact that for whatever reason, God did not want us to know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Ultimately, we know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen? The Holy Spirit inspired the person who wrote Hebrews, and God left it for our edification. The fourth thing I want you to understand about the book of Hebrews is very similar to that. We don't know who wrote it, but also, since there's no salutation, we don't know exactly who the original recipients were. The tone of the letter seems to indicate that the recipients, original recipients, were Christians and were supposed to be mature Christians, should have been by this time, as we'll read later on. And there are also abundance of Old Testament references, references to Jewish history, Jewish customs, and along with a traditional title that we've already talked about, to the Hebrews, we can reasonably say that the letter was probably originally written to a community of converted Jews. Exactly where they were located, who knows? And maybe, could it just be that maybe that's on purpose? That could it be that God intended this letter for the Jews, for Hebrews of any time and any place, to point them to Christ? I would say absolutely that's probable. So there are a lot of things that we don't know for sure about the book of Hebrews, but there are three things that Al Mohler, president of Southern Seminary, tells us we can know for sure here. Number one, Hebrews was written to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're believers. This book has something to say to us. Amen? Second of all, it plays a unique role in the canon of Scripture, as I've kind of already talked about and alluded to. And third, the canon of Scripture, in that it helps us understand and interpret the Old Testament. And third, flowing right out of that, Hebrews instructs all Christians, Jews and Gentiles, on how to read the Old Testament in proper relation to Christ. So with that understanding, kind of a little bit of history and background on the book of Hebrews, let's dive in to the text itself. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. says God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The first thing I want you to notice here is where the writer begins. He begins with what? God. God. He begins with the concept of God. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Friends, listen, God is the starting point of all true revelation. Amen? It must start with God. If we're going to know anything about God, it has to be what he tells us. A lot of people speculate about God, don't they? A lot of people try to come up in their own mind with what they think God is like. But you know, that's an idol. That is something that God warns us against. God is the one who reveals himself to us. Do you know there are basically two types of religions in the world? You can really boil all religions, if you will, and I use that word kind of loosely, all religions into two categories. One is a category in which man tries or thinks he can do something to earn his way or to make his way to God or to salvation or to enlightenment. So it is man trying to improve himself, trying to come back as a better person, trying to make up, atone for his own sins. Some way that man thinks that he can climb the ladder to become either like God or to get to God, to get to salvation. That's one type. And the reality is you can lump really every other religion into that category. And then there is biblical Christianity, in which we realize that we cannot climb our way to God. God had to step out of heaven and come to us. So instead of us trying to figure out God, God has revealed himself to us. One that starts with man, the other that starts with God, because man, of our own knowledge, has no knowledge of God except for a general revelation of God through creation. And so God has given us special revelation through his word of himself. Friends, God is the starting point of all true revelation. Many people ask, listen, if God is real, if there's really a God out there, how come he has not spoken to us? How come he has not told us something about himself? How come he doesn't say something to the world? Well, friends, he has. He has. He's given us his word. What is the Bible? The Bible is God's self-revelation of himself, his plans, his ways, and his purposes to mankind. That's what the Bible is. And here in Hebrews chapter 1, we have one of, if not the most succinct and applicable descriptions of how God has revealed himself to man here in this first verse and a half. God, who at various times and in various ways, all right, simply is talking about all the ways in which God has revealed himself to man. Starting back, how did God originally reveal himself to man? Well, in the Garden of Eden, right? The Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked with God and they fellowshiped with God and they knew God. Wouldn't it be awesome? But something happened, didn't it? Something happened. And what happened was that the devil came along and tempted Adam and Eve, and they took the bait, and they wanted to be like God, and so they did the one thing that God told them not to do, and because of that, they were booted out, right? Were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and sin entered the world. It was what we call the fall of man. And so from that point, a degradation began to happen, and evil began to happen. And we fast forward just a few chapters in the book of Genesis, but a very long time period in time. And we find out by the time of Noah, mankind had denigrated to the fact where it says all men were evil continually. There was much violence on the earth except for one man and his family by the name of Noah. God spoke to Noah and he told him, Noah, build a boat, right? Noah built a boat and his family, and God saved them from the flood. After that, God said, I'll never destroy the earth by flood again. Praise God. But after that, mankind started down that degradation path again. We're sinners by nature, by choice. And so we see that. And so God had to break into history again. And he broke in beginning with Abraham. And he called Abraham out of his country, the land of Ur. And he called him to another land, the promised land, where he would make of him a great nation and give him many descendants. And you remember this, Abraham had to trust in God and wait till he was, man, almost 100 years old before he had his first real child. And God began to reveal himself, as it says here, in various times, in various ways, in time past, to the fathers by the prophets. He revealed himself to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Jacob's other name was what? Israel, where we get the nation of Israel, or the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? And Israel, the book of Hebrews here, it's all really describing the nation of Israel. We use the term Jews today. But that's where they came from. And so God spoke to all the fathers on down to Moses at the burning bush, right? And he spoke to Joshua and to David. He spoke to the prophets, Nathan, and he spoke to Isaiah and Jeremiah. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see God speaking directly to many, some through visions, and some even spoke through a donkey. God spoke in various ways at various times to the fathers through the prophets. And we see that over a period of about 1500 to 1800 years, God revealed himself progressively throughout the Old Testament, as we have recorded on the pages of Scripture, until about 400 years before Jesus came. God went silent. No prophets after that. And God, there was 400 years of silence, and you wouldn't think that really things could go that astray, but they'd already begun, and so it was. But then after those 400 years of silence, it kind of breaks in here at verse 2, and look at what it says. It says, God, who at various times, various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The last days, Jews fully understood, is the time when the Messiah would come. We know the last days as the time that is speaking of the time from when Jesus first came until the time he came back. In other words, we're living in the last days. The Scripture talks about the last days. We're living in it. We don't know how long the last days are going to last, friends, but it's here. And we're living in it. And what the Scripture says is that God has revealed himself to mankind through his chosen people, the Israelites. Why did God choose Abraham? Why did God choose Isaac and Jacob and the Israelites? They thought that they were special, and they are special, but they thought they were special and God didn't like anybody else. But God's plan was that he would reveal himself through them so that, as he told Abraham, all the world would be blessed. That through them, he would bring the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so all of here in verse 1 and first part of 2 really describes that in a nutshell. He has in these last days, as he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and we saw that progressive revelation, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And friends, what we're going to see throughout the rest of this letter, this book of Hebrews, is that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of everything promised in the Old Testament of the Messiah. Jesus Christ is everything that was told and promised and foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Even all of the symbolism and the types that we're going to see are fulfilled in Jesus. Friends, Jesus is the key to unlocking the Old Testament. Jesus is the key to unlocking our life. Amen? And that God has revealed himself to us. He has revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He goes on here in the next part of our text this morning to give one of the greatest, briefest, most exalting descriptions of Jesus in all of Scripture. Now, Pastor Brandon already had two of those other passages on the screen this morning. John chapter 1. And Colossians chapter 1. And what you will notice here as we look at these phrases next, you're going to notice some reference to those. Some of the same concepts here repeated over and over. I want you to look at this as the writer of Hebrews goes on to talk about Jesus and how he is the fulfillment to all of God's promises. He is the answer to our problems. He is the key to all of life. Look at what it says. It says, he has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Jesus is called the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is fully God and fully man, but he stepped out of heaven and came to earth, and he is the heir of all things. The Jews understood this. An heir was to be invested with everything, was to have full authority. And to do business with the heir was to do business with the Father. And so what the scripture is saying here, and when Jesus is called heir of all things, is guess what? When you do business with Jesus, you have to decide, who is he? What am I going to do with him? You're doing business with the Father. He's heir of all things. It also says, through whom also he made the worlds. Now, this takes us back to the words of John 1:1 that we saw earlier, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through him, all things were made. And so the one who fulfills all things, the one who is the fulfillment of all the promises in the Old Testament, and he is the key to all of life and unlocking all of that, friends, was also the one through whom the worlds were made. Goes on here in verse 3. Says, who, being the brightness of his glory. That reminds us and harkens us back to God's Shekinah glory witnessed in the Old Testament. That those visible manifestations of God's glory in the natural world, such as in the burning bush, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, the way God revealed himself in natural elements, whatever. Jesus is, to us, Jesus is the ultimate representation of the fullness of the glory of God. He is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Remember, Jesus said in the book of John, I and the Father are one. And so, if you've seen me, he says, you've seen the Father. Friends, Jesus is the fullest, most complete revelation of the Father possible because he shares the Father's divine nature. So people say, listen, I wish we knew more about if there's a God and so forth. God has revealed himself to us fully, completely in his Son, Jesus Christ. We say, oh, I wish I knew more about God. Jesus is telling us, Scripture tells us, God the Father is telling us here in Hebrews, guess what? You've got it all. You want to know me? Know him. It says there that he upholds all things by the word of his power. You know, we think about things in light of the eclipse that's coming and so forth. You know, you think about the distance from the sun to the earth. If it was a little bit closer, we'd burn up. A little bit further, we'd freeze to death. The moon was the distance of the moon was different. The tides would all be messed up and we'd all drown. God holds all the universe in his hands. The Lord Jesus Christ upholds all things in his hands. Friends, I don't know about you, but I can trust somebody with that kind of power. Amen? God can help me in my struggles. God, I know God has me in his hands. But the same being who is all of that and who is heir of all things and who created the world and who is the express image of his person is very God, has stepped out of heaven. Look at this next phrase, and it says, when he had by himself purged our sin, that same God, that same being who is heir of all things, creator of all things, sustainer of all things, stepped out of heaven and purged or cleansed our sins once for all on the cross. He took care of it. Our sins, as we talked about just with Adam and Eve, our sins have separated us from our God. So what is the solution to that? Jesus is the solution. When he went to the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins so that if we will accept that sacrifice, God says he will, why won't we? Says he has already purged our sins and now is sat down, it says, at the right hand of the majesty on high. As if there was any doubt left as to the Son's authority or ability to act on our behalf, guess where he is? He's at the right hand of the Father. Do you think he is our mediator at the right hand of the Father? You betcha he is. Friends, God has revealed himself to us in his Son. It is the fullness of his person. Everything that he has revealed himself, and he has died for us, and he is interceding for us right now. Everything promised in the Old Testament of Messiah, Jesus is, and then some. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He is our creator, sustainer, and redeemer. He is the Son of God and Savior of the world. He is Almighty God in the flesh, friends, and he is the key that not only unlocks the Old Testament, but unlocks all of life. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been struggling. You've been trying to fill your life with other things. Friends, there is a void in our lives. There's a hole in our lives that we try to fill with other stuff. We try to be satisfied with this, and we try to try this, and we try something else. And friends, what we really find out, and sometimes it takes us a long time in life, is none of that stuff satisfies us. Only the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with our God helps all of life come into focus. How many here, I can see some of you. How many here wear glasses or contacts? Whoa. All of you don't have them on this morning. Okay, you're like me probably, and you have contacts in. How many have contacts in this morning? All right. How many of you just aren't wearing your glasses or your contacts this morning? All right. Okay. There's honesty this morning. Okay. So no wonder. Now I know some of you that say, Pastor, you really look good this morning. I know who to believe in and who not to. I wear contacts. Some of you see me. Every now and then somebody will see me during the week with glasses on, and they'll say, "Wow, you look different. Oh, you didn't know you wear glasses." I'm like, "Well, yeah, I wear contacts on Sunday morning," but I haven't always worn glasses, or it wasn't very early. I actually didn't get my glasses and contacts until I was in college. Kind of the way things transpired. It was actually the first day of college. I went into class, calculus class, and I couldn't find exactly where it was. And so I wasn't late, but I was just right on time. And the class was already full. I mean, every seat in the front was full. There were only a couple seats in the back. And so I did what I had to do. I sat in the back. And as the professor began writing on the board different problems and so forth, I began to squint. And something had happened to my eyes between when I didn't notice it when I graduated, and it really got bad to when I started college. And I left that first class of calculus and I said, I've got to get glasses. I ended up, wasn't a test, but I ended up having to copy the notes off the person next to me because I just couldn't see the board. It was fuzzy. It was unclear. And so I went and got glasses, and all of a sudden, the world became a beautiful place. You know, I used to ride down the road. I remember this. I used to ride down the road, and before I got my glasses in the context, I used to wonder, why do people spend all that money on those billboards when nobody can even see them? I didn't realize that I was the only one who couldn't see them. But after I got my glasses and my contacts, everything became in focus. It began to see things that I'd never seen before. Everything became a lot clearer. And friends, that's the way life is when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Before we come to that point of surrender to him and believing in him and trusting in him, we fight it. We try everything else in the book of doing things our way, some other way, anything. I'm just here to tell you, Jesus is the key that unlocks clarity in your own life and unlocks clarity in the world. Not only does it help make your own life make sense, but understanding and beginning to have a biblical worldview and taking what God says in his word and as the truth that it is, it begins to help us understand the world around us as well. Listen, there's nothing that can confuse people more than what's going on in the world today. But when we understand God's greater plan, listen, we may not like all of it. We may not agree with all of it. But at least we can understand some of why and how and what's really going on. Friends, I'm here this morning to tell you that Jesus is the key. There's some of you here today who are still trying to make sense of life. I'll just tell you that Jesus is the one who makes sense of life in your life. Some of you are struggling in your relationships. You're struggling for your relationships to be made whole or to be made right. Friends, Jesus, putting him first in your life is what brings all that together. Some of you are struggling with brokenness, that a sense of brokenness that you feel over hurts that you've had, over things that have happened in your life. Friends, give that to the Lord. Give it over to him. Stop carrying that burden yourself. Some of you are carrying the burden of your past mistakes and sin. Guess what? Jesus wants to take that burden off of you today. You say, Pastor, how can that happen? It happens when we put our faith and trust in him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, friends, we need to come to a point in our life where we realize that I can't, it's not my way. My way leads to a dead end. So Jesus' way is the only way. But what God offers in Jesus is the answer. And we allow him to come into our life. We put our faith and trust in him, that what he did on the cross paid for our sins, and that he wants to give us a abundant life now and eternal life forevermore. And guess what? When we do that, God does a miracle in our heart. We're born again. We become his child. And he begins to help us see life clearly. Maybe you're here this morning and that's where you are. Friends, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to give your life to Christ. Stop trying other things. Stop wondering about other things. Friends, I'm here to tell you, 100% certainty. Jesus is the answer. He is God's revelation of himself to us. You say, Pastor, what about Muhammad? What about Buddha? What about all these other religions out there? Friends, listen. Jesus is the only one who claims to be the Son of God, who died on a cross and rose again for your sins. You have to decide, what will you do with him? Will you accept him or will you reject him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for not leaving us in our sin, not leaving us in our brokenness with a void in our lives, but we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. God, we thank you that you have broken into history, that you chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on down the line to reveal yourself so that through that lineage you could bring your son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, to complete us, to complete the world, to make all things right. Lord, this morning, we put our faith and our trust in you. Lord, for those who are here, or maybe still struggling with this, I pray, Lord, that you just reveal yourself to them this morning. Speak to their heart. Lord, help them not to put it off any longer. Friend, if you're here, it's simply saying something like this from your heart to God's. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need you, Jesus, as my Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again. I invite you to come into my life. And make it whole. Friends, if you will pray, ask him to come in, he will. And his promise is that you will be his forever child. Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. Lord, for those who are here who maybe they put their faith and trust in you, maybe, Lord, but have strayed, have let other things come in and fill where you need to be. Lord, help us renew and come back to being centered on you. Lord, everything in our lives needs to revolve around you. Not us, not our kids, not our marriage, not our work, not our hobbies, but you. So Lord, help us come back to centering our lives on you, looking unto Jesus, you, the author and finisher of our faith. It's in your precious holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask if you will, if you just stand with me right now. This is our time of decision, of invitation. Our altar is open if you want to come and do business with God. Maybe there's been a decision that you've made this morning to put your faith in Christ. I invite you to come. I'd love to just celebrate that decision with you. Maybe you have questions. I'm here. Pastor Mark's here. We'd be glad to answer and talk to you about whatever. Maybe you need to make Southside your church home. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you what you're going through. Whatever it is, we want to invite you to come. Do business with God. Whatever it is, as we sing. thank you that even though we fall short, Lord, you have clothed us in your righteousness, the righteousness of your Son. And that's what makes us whole. We thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, church. Go ahead, have a seat. Again, if there's any way we can pray for you, any decisions that you've made, or if this was your first or even second time, again, please, please fill out the Connect card for us. Just name, easiest way to contact you. On the backside, there's places for prayer requests, praise reports, or anything that you want to communicate with us. Again, this is the best way to do it. So at this time, men, if you can come forward and receive the Connect cards at this time. And while they are receiving the Connect cards at this time, we got a few things coming down the pike with school almost back in, well, school's back in sessions for, you know, South Bend, Mishawaka. Penn, I don't know if you're ever going to go back. Penn might never go back. I mean, we're still on summer vacation, Mark. We got one more week, but hey, Wednesday, it's the day. So, but with school going back, Awana's going to be going in full steam ahead here in a little bit. Youth group be going full steam ahead as well. We'll give you an announcement about that in just a second. But before we do that, Pastor mentioned it, we have a back to school bash going down here on Friday. Who is this for? We've been asked various questions. Who is this for? Yes, we want to reach Jackson, so we're throwing it for Jackson, and we're throwing it for Hamilton as well. But we also want you as a church to come and actually, you know, like, meet people and be nice to people and talk with people where it's like, hey, we're a church, we're throwing this for you, but we ain't got no church people here, so just have fun. We don't want it to be like that at all. So if you have kids, bring them, let them have fun, make some friends. Maybe that'll get those kids to come to Awana as well. But we also need just volunteer help as well, because when you got a ton of kids with a lot of land and a church, it might not be pretty. So we need some people who, you know, are adults, who maybe think like an adult. That's why I was not allowed to volunteer this year, because they said, Mark, you think like a kid too much. You're going to be playing the whole time. It's true. But either way, so we need adult volunteers help, and even teenagers as well, if you want to help with just to be able to man bounce houses, face paint, all these various different things. We actually have a ton of these flyers, all right? We printed up close to 300 flyers or something like this, all right? We're taking some to Jackson, some to Hamilton, some to the fire stations. But if you go right outside these doors, take a corner right around at the Welcome Center, and also at the children's little check-in desk over there, we have these flyers ready to go. So take them, get the word out, give them to your neighbors, give them to your friends. We also have a contest right now on Facebook that we're trying to get people to share the post and like it and whatnot. We're giving gift cards away, because that's what you're supposed to do in these requests or whatnot. So we're going to be giving gift cards. We're going to draw one name from sharing this. So share it with your friends, tag some people, let them know that we're doing this. And here's why we're doing it, okay? We're not doing this just to throw a party for the people here in the community, all right? Now, we are Southside Baptist Church. We are Southside of South Bend. We are for the Southside. We love the Southside. We want them to know that we love them, but we want them to know we love them because Jesus loves us, and we want to show his love to them. And we're going to be playing music that is actually, you know, it's actually, well, you can call it church music, but it's more of a teenager flair, if I can say so myself. But we'll be playing some worship music for the kids. We'll also be doing various challenges and talks. The gospel will be shared at this event for kids and parents. We want everyone that we can to be here at this event. The flyers are over here. The information on Facebook. It's this Friday from 6:30 to, I believe, 8:30. Am I correct? If you want to help, go see Jennifer, Manny, Navarro. They're hanging out in the dark shadows like Batman. They're over there on the far side of the sanctuary. Write in your Connect card. Get it to me. We'll get you to where you need to go. Pastor, you can't point out Batman. Robin's job is not to point out Batman. My goodness, man. You watch too much Marvel movies. Y'all start watching some DC movies too. So, but before we go, we want to make one quick announcement for Awana. So, Mike Edwards, where are you hiding? In the back. All right. So, Mike will do a quick word for Awana. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed.
I'll stay down here. All right, like Mark said, we've got a lot going on this time of year, and one of those things is Awana. We have had some volunteers come forth last week or so. We thank you for that. We still need just a few more, so if you are at all interested, wow, that's happening now. Okay, if you are at all interested, want to find out a little bit more about it, we're looking for part-time workers, we're looking for full-time workers, or even if you're just not quite sure, come up to me afterwards. I'll be over here on the left-hand side here, and I'm hoping that you can help out to lead kids to Christ. So thanks a lot, Mark. All right, very good. Lord, we thank you once again for the opportunity to serve you, to worship you here where you've placed us. I just pray that we'd be a light to the community and that that other people would, that we would draw other people to you and that they would be disciples and followers of you. Give each one a good week. Bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen.